Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Five Color Commentary, Seven, The Bloodline. My name's Eric.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Nick.
Thanks, Chris. Oh, yeah. On today's episode of Five Color Commentary, we talk about E3 along with Nick's robot report and Chris's Getting Us Geeked section, and some news about M15 and our experiences with conspiracy. But first, it's time for a little segment we like to call Neato News.
Neato!
I love it. Every time. It's the best. We talked about Transistor 2 weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
And so their soundtrack sold 48,000 copies.
Illegally.
Legally. Because you probably don't sell those
probably
illegally,
not.
Right? You just get pirated them or whatever. But sold 48,000 copies within the first 10 days. So that's huge.
Yeah.
Especially
for
a video game sound.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool, and I thought I'd just,
It's probably because you brought it up. You got that
five-color commentary bump. Like the Colbert bump,
bump.
I don't have a clever name for it yet.
We're
but,
just gonna
you know,
rip
we'll
it
see.
Directly off.
Just
the five-color commentary.
The five CC
no, we can
bump.
Just be the Colbert bump yeah. ourselves.
Oh, sure.
We are.
Okay.
The color bump.
I've been told I look like Colbert a little bit.
Here comes the lawsuit for stealing the Colbert bump.
Yep. Hold on. Google launched 180 satellites worldwide for global internet coverage, which it's like a $3 billion project. They're sending up satellites all across the world.
Where do they launch them from? One location, or?
Yes.
And then they spread out?
Right from my heart. I have no idea.
All right.
But I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah,
but also,
free internet
but also
for everyone.
Kind of scary that Google's continuing its global domination.
Yeah.
They're buying up, like, robot companies. They've got, like, Boston Dynamics now, right?
I have no idea.
They just look so friendly.
I thought you were the robot guy.
Yeah, but I don't know what
Guru.
Boston Dynamics is.
Just their logo looks so friendly.
Yeah.
With the colors and the bubble lettering, but they're dark. They're a dark corporation. It's Skynet.
Skynet.
Google Point. Is an acronym for Skynet.
Mm,
no?
I'm not so sure about all that.
We tried.
Pretty red cool.
Pretty far off in truth. So, Oculus Rift and Samsung are teaming up. So Oculus
Why are they teaming up?
Oculus is helping Samsung develop their own VR tech, virtual reality tech, where you could drop in like your Galaxy Nexus or whatever into these set of goggles, and then you can use your phone. Or it's not even goggles, it's just dropping the phone and using that display, and then that acts as like your virtual reality. And then the trade-off is, because Oculus is helping Samsung out, Samsung is giving Oculus some of their next-generation OLED technology, which is organic light-emitting diodes, some of the most cutting-edge tech for display technology coming out right now, which looks amazing, and it's, like, really super thin, really lightweight, all that good stuff, so... Hopefully it's beneficial for both companies, especially I'm hoping for Oculus, really.
Yeah.
To see what happens in the VR world there, so. What else do we have here? GOG Galaxy. Good old games.
Good old games. Yep. I have gotten some good games from them.
Some good old games?
Old games.
Some might say.
Pharaoh. Journeyman Project 3.
Okay, you could keep on listing off games or we could talk about the topic. Either way.
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
That's all the games I got.
So oh, okay.
I can't list
so two good old games from
yep,
good old games.
Two.
So they're basically adding kind of a Steam-like service. It's going to be DRM free, and it looks like they're going to offer cross-play and an optional client for your PC games, which basically ends up being Steam minus digital rights management. Which could be huge. We'll see what comes out of it and what companies are on board versus not. A lot of people adopted Steam in the first place because it's a great way to enforce DRM.
Cool.
So, after that, Oh, yeah. Apple and Beats. We talked about Apple's acquisition of Beats on last episode. Yep. Now it looks like they might be looking into doing away entirely with a 3.5 millimeter jack, the headphone jack, on the new iPhones that are coming out, and potentially the new iPads as well, just using the Lightning connector. So what that allows them to do is they can give much more high-fidelity audio through that, but it's also cutting out a huge portion of the market because the Lightning connector is proprietary. Other people would either have to license it or they couldn't even produce headphones with the Lightning connector in the first place.
Yep.
So it's kind of like a power play from Apple to make things more locked down, give us more money, buy our stuff from us. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. There's definitely an advantage to doing away with old-style connections like that, like the old...
And good old-fashioned wire and jack and port, having everything being wireless?
Because of how much higher fidelity you could get. Like, imagine if monitors still only used VGA connections. There's no way we could display 1080p or, you know, 4K or 4K, anything like that over an old VGA connection. So technology has to progress forward. It's unfortunate that it's in this fashion to where it's a proprietary connector and other companies won't be able to use this technology. This is me just guessing, but sure. I can't see Apple saying, yeah, you guys can use our Lightning connectors for anything you want. Mm-hmm. But even compared to the older iPhones and the old, like, 30-pin connector that the old iPods had back in the day, like, that connector is way out of date, too.
Yep.
And the Lightning connector is way smaller, universal, transmits way more data back and forth, charges faster, all that stuff. So it's just pushing forward what that can do. And maybe we'll see some rival developments out of Samsung and other large tech companies in the future. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
That's all I got for Neato News, guys.
That was Neato.
Take us on to getting us geeked.
Well, here at the Five Colors of Commentary, we like to game.
It's true.
We like those games.
That's the truth.
Be it digital, tabletop, backyard with a ball. No, we don't like the sports ball.
I do.
You do?
I play a little bit of the sports ball.
You play some sports ball?
Oh, sure.
All right. I never heard of such a thing. Well, anyway. So getting me geeked recently is this semi-new game, quote-unquote. It's been around for a few years, called Smash Up. It's a tabletop card game. Starts out with 2+ players, so you can do heads-up style or group game. And, I gotta say, I'm having a good time with it.
So, what's the game about? What do you do?
Well, good question.
Yeah.
I was segueing.
Okay.
There's that hiccup. Now, what makes it so cool is there, are many different factions. There's the initial core set that has 8 factions in it. And those factions are ninjas, aliens, laser dinosaurs, really just
you had me at laser dinosaurs.
Werewolves?
So, yep.
Werewolves will be coming out. I'm getting to that. Ooh, there's expansion packs. And so, as I said, there's the initial core set with the different factions. And then I believe they're at three expansions right now. One's a Cthulhu set. They have the over level 9,000 awesomeness pack.
Yes, Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, they have a lot of tongue-in-cheek references in these games. It doesn't take itself too seriously at all. It's a lot of fun. So the reason it's called Smash Up, so as I mentioned, there's those factions.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is, when we play anyway, we do it at random. We select 2 different factions, and then you smash them up. And each different faction has its own pros and cons, strengths, weaknesses. The goal of the game is there are base cards, and these bases have a threshold. And you basically play your either minions or actions one at a time per turn, on your turn, to break a base. And these bases have victory points. And the first to 15 victory points wins the things.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you break a base? Are you...
You're playing minions, and these minions have a power on them. So typically 2 to 4 power.
Okay.
There's like a boss card in each deck, in the core set anyway, that has about 5 power.
Gotcha.
Yeah. There's an Elder Things from the Cthulhu set that has 10 power.
Okay.
King Rex has got 7. He's rolling. He's stomping.
Right. That doesn't mean a lot to me, except that you said the normal guys have 2 to 4, so
yeah,
that's a lot.
I would say that a normal base has a threshold of 20, 22 points.
Okay.
So it takes a sec for it to add up, and each base has a benefit or something that'll happen after it breaks, and you score the points and win the things.
Win the things. All of the things.
All of the things.
Fantastic.
So I'm definitely geeked about Smash Up.
Yeah, it sounds
pretty
cool.
Check out the link. It's a relatively cheap.
Oh, hey, game. Will Wheaton's on it. So.
That's what I was just looking at.
Yeah,
I was going to say that. You stole it.
Well, too little too late.
I was letting
there.
Young Chris finish.
Oh, well.
I dig it.
It looks sweet. I'm excited.
And
is he like their spokesperson? Will Wheaton? Will Wheaton?
Well, he
know.
Does that tabletop.
It was an impulse purchase. I was at my local game store.
Ooh.
Shout out BKG.
Big and, Kids Games big right kids here games. In Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah, and my buddy saw it. He doesn't even like to play Magic. He hates games in general. He's like, this looks like fun. And so we got it. And he hates it, of course.
I was going to say that sounded like Zach, but I doubt it was Zach. Yeah,
you
I don't think so.
This guy's name is Tyler.
Okay.
And we purchased the game.
All right. Mm-hmm. Tyler Urban Commando.
Yeah, Tyler Urban Commando.
Shout out to Tyler Urban Commando.
Ski.
Chris, you also had some other things. Mario Kart 8, I guess?
What's a Mario Kart 8?
Yeah,
but the greatest thing ever.
The greatest thing
until
ever.
Until 9.
Oh, sure, sure.
See, how did they get to 8?
What already? Do you mean, how did they not get to 8?
I don't remember 7.
Maybe I was on the
it's
DS?
On the DS.
Oh.
Yeah. It was also for console.
Good call for me.
Council?
I don't even play those games.
Console?
Did I say console?
You said council.
Council. Council.
Yes.
There was
yes.
a group of people in a chair. One chair. There's
an arbiter of sorts. And yes.
Sure. Yeah, Mario Kart 8, for anyone who's played it, will tell you it looks gorgeous.
Yes. I've heard and seen.
It looks fantastic. They, I don't know how they do it. They can give you the exact same game. Like Madden. Every time, and I'm going to buy it. And I'm going to love it. And I'm going to do drinking.
Are you
games.
A Madden fan?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't think so.
I don't do the sports.
I cut out all the sports from E3, but anyway.
Okay, that's
yeah.
probably...
It's like, we're not talking about those at all.
Oh, hockey.
Yeah, no.
No?
Not going to talk about sports.
So, what's new in Mario Kart 8 that right. freshens it up?
Well, for those of you who have never played a Mario Kart game...
I've played Crash Team Racing.
What? You've not played Mario Kart?
I've played Mario Kart.
Okay, well, see, we're good. What's new? They have a wider range of characters. A lot of Bowser's kids are in it. He's got a lot of kids.
He does.
You know?
Cool.
He's got a lot of kids.
Okay.
And, there's like pink, gold, peach, which is cool. There's a great selection of cart customization. Typically, I stick with the same cart, so that's about it.
I heard that you can change, like you have different wheel types and different body types, and
yep.
there's like, they added a motorcycle or something this
time. They've had that. They have ATVs, motorcycles,
right.
you know, sports bikes, standard carts.
Sure.
All that kind of good stuff. And, they did the usual framework of having 4 new cups, or new stage cups, and 4 retro cups.
Okay.
So I believe it's the special cup is the last of the normal cups, and the star cup. No, that's not right. Anyway,
okay.
for a total of a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. That's what that adds up to.
All adds up to
all
a
right.
lot of fun.
Who's your go-to character, Young Chris?
I like to play the small characters because I enjoy the handling.
You don't like pushing people around?
I mean, it's fun to be Bowser. But. What? Oh, I'm getting to that.
Alright.
Right now.
Good.
You want me to?
Smooth segue.
Segue.
The smoothest of segs.
I just wanted to bring up Mario Kart because it's making me happy, guys, and anyone who's played is going to love it.
I'm looking forward to it. I heard it was pretty good.
Shh, we're not going to talk about the part whether I own it.
Do you own it?
I don't own it.
No.
I'm at a place where the dude owns it.
I was going to say you should invite us over to play it.
Yeah.
But
he doesn't own it, so he probably won't do that.
No.
That would be Tyler Urban Commando.
NRG.
NRG. You don't even know what NRG is.
No.
No one here.
It's a band.
No.
Oh.
Next. Revision. Go.
Nope. From what I've gathered, it sounds like energy.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
Energy. Energy.
It's good.
Watch the video. It's in the link thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
That'll be one of our transition songs, probably. We don't know where exactly, but just look for that. It'll be super
exciting.
What is
it, though? That's the exciting part.
We don't know? That's what's exciting about it?
You're not going to tell our listeners what it is.
Click the link.
There is no link.
Trust fall into this link, people.
There is no link.
So bad.
There is no link.
Chris, you're the worst. The most underprepared person I know.
You just cut all that.
Good. All right. It's up to Nick. Nick's editing this episode.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's all Chris has for what's getting him geeked.
So let's
get right into that robot report, Nick.
Well, yeah, somebody changed my link.
Who?
Oh, there we go. Nope, we got it.
When? Where? Why?
I got it.
Listeners? Was that you?
So last episode, I only had one robot to talk about.
The ABB robot.
The ABB robot.
I didn't get to see it in action.
This week.
It was pretty crisp.
I have three.
Whoa.
Three.
Pace yourself, friend.
So our first one is called, it's kind of cool, it's called ClearPath Robotics.
Okay.
And they have this little robot, and right now it's live on Twitch TV.
Oh.
Hopefully it's still live.
Sure. Probably not when you're listening to this, listeners, but, you know.
It might be. Oh, there it is. Look at that little robot.
All right.
And what you can do here is...
Looks like a hard drive.
We're going to go on our Twitter account, and we're going to tweet something to this robot.
I don't know what's going to happen right now.
Okay.
This is some live tweeting. Well, not when you listen to it, but anyway.
How do I do this? I am not a tweeting person.
Nick has just sent out his first tweet earlier, like 30 minutes ago. Okay. Yeah, sure, just copy that.
So we
that
just got
one.
A hashtag.
Hashtag.
Hashtag
MoveRobot.
MoveRobot. And your Twitter.
Okay.
And then we're going to send it a signal. Left.
Left. And that's all you need to do? Tweet
it. Is that the way we want to send it?
I don't know.
Why don't you split screen it?
Hey, it moved.
No, it did it. I didn't tweet it yet.
No, I think someone else
moved. Oh, someone else. We're going to go right. No, left. We want to go left.
Okay.
Put it in
tweet.
The corner.
Tweet it. Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Anyway.
Wow, this is good radio.
Yeah. Anyways,
least, so.
Tweet it, make the robot move. It's kind of cool. They said there's some Easter eggs in here that, if you find them, I don't know.
Ooh.
Makes the robot do some sweet things. Just a basic.
In hindsight, maybe you should have done like a dry run off the cast to see if you could figure that out, but.
But I didn't know.
But still, it's exciting. It's on the, we're tweeting robots to move them around.
The future is
we're now. Trying to, at
trying.
Least. So. Okay.
All right.
So that's ClearPath.
That's ClearPath Robots. You can look at the link on the show notes and make it move. Next one. This is kind of creepy. A company in Japan have made lifelike looking robots.
Okay.
And,
yeah,
they
I've seen these.
They did like a test run in a hospital, and these robots were there for a month, and they left, and the people were like, yeah, we were really sad they're gone. Now we're all lonely. But, I mean.
I don't want these to exist.
Yeah.
I don't want these to exist.
This, along with Google taking over the world with its worldwide internet.
Look at this. They're talking to each other. My name is Karuko. How old are you? He's 26 years old, this robot.
Oh, okay.
And the robot wants to take a photo with him?
Well, look for that link in the show notes, folks. This is, I am genuinely creeped out.
Yeah.
Vsauce. Have you ever watched
Vsauce? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vsauce did a cool episode on why things are creepy. So, recommend checking that out.
Okay.
Sidebar there.
All right.
Okay.
Nice little sidebar.
I dig Vsauce.
Yeah.
He's a
Vsauce is good.
Vinny sauce?
Vsauce. What's Vinny sauce? Is this a pizza?
No, it's a... He does
he's talking about it like you should know.
He does video
Vinny
games.
Sauce, right?
Vinny. You know Vinny.
Video game stuff. That's what he does. All right. Last robot. The other robot still has moved.
Good.
It says right on the top who made it move last.
It does.
It
does?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where's
Celbez? Forward left stop. Huh. Anyway, tell us about these robots.
This new robot from a professor.
Okay.
Jeff Critchmer.
Ooh.
And he is working to make robots more like a human brain, like their thinking process, more like a human brain.
So worse than what normal robots
non-functional.
No, like, okay, like making cognitive decisions.
Okay.
Like being aware of what's around you.
And right and wrong.
Yeah, no. And reacting to your environment, like self-awareness? No.
That sounds dangerous.
No.
Intuition?
Not Skynet.
All of this sounds bad.
No.
Nick, this is terrifying news.
Preservation.
Okay, self-preservation.
Sure. So, like, they did a study, like, on a rat or a mouse going through a maze, and they measured its dopamine levels, and then they tried to take that and convert it into a mechanical chemical, like, in the robot.
Okay.
So it could take those and...
It would kind of simulate its response?
Yeah.
Almost?
Act like a chemical or electrical response in your brain.
So based on the situation, it would have those different electrical chemical impulses?
Yep. So he already has one of these robots in development named Carl Jr.
Isn't that like a Carl's Jr. or something? Isn't that a thing?
Carl's Jr.
Get a
burger.
Carl's
Jr. It can respond to verbal commands and external signals. And they use it in, for therapeutic stuff with autistic people.
Sure.
Because they don't like sometimes to be interact with other people.
Right.
An inanimate object is,
Yeah, because with people, like, you need to build a very high level of trust between an autistic person before they typically kind of like imprint on that person sort of a deal, you know, where they build that bond. So I can see how with maybe something that can interact but isn't necessarily a person where it would not be quite as frightening.
Yep. So
sure.
Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr. Fantastic. Okay, well that's all you have for the robot report, right?
I believe so.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to dig into E3, we'll hit up some magic talk, too. We'll see you right after the break.
Welcome back to Five Color Commentaries. We are going to head right into the monster of a subject, E3.
Monster of a subject.
That's funny because I was thinking about introducing it as a monster of a subject while I was talking to Eric. This is a beast.
Great minds think alike.
I was just thinking there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, without further ado, let's
Eric.
Dive right in. So did either of you guys watch any of the press conferences?
I watched the information about Kingdom Hearts 3 from last year.
Of course.
From last year. Yeah, because there wasn't any this year.
No, there wasn't any.
We'll get into that.
I did not. I was working.
You were really busy this week.
Out of town, in Ohio. Sure. All over the place.
All over doing that. Things with them robots and stuff. So.
That dude's going.
It's moving.
That dude's going.
The robot's going around.
That same guy is moving around.
I'm going to figure out how to do this. Anyways,
Oh, good. You're not going to listen at all.
I am
even
listening.
Though we just had a break and then...
It's okay, Eric. We'll have a conversation.
All right. So, let's start off with Nintendo. They, again, this year did not do a press conference. They had no actual presence on the floor. They did their Nintendo Direct, where they revealed a whole bunch of things in a pre-prepared video that they aired. So one of the things they're doing now is Amiibos.
Oh yeah, I've heard some about that.
Basically like Skylanders and like Disney Infinity now, where you buy the little character and then you put them on this NFC base, near field communication base, where it gives you like a digital version of your characters. Nintendo's getting into that game now. They were, back when Skylanders was first starting, they were interested in partnering with Wii, and Nintendo was like, no, we don't need that. And now they're like, oh, hey, this seems kind of popular. Mm-hmm. So they're getting in on that game, too. So I've seen little Marios, and you can use these Amiibos for Super Smash. I think you can use them for the new Mario Party. I'm not sure what else, but
Sounds awesome.
Kind of cool. Yeah. So, GameCube controllers, we talked about those being back.
Yep.
They're doing a bundle now. So Smash Brothers, the GameCube controller and an adapter for holiday for $100, which basically if you take apart everything that's going to be in the bundle, which is Smash Brothers, that'll be $60. The adapter is going to be $20, and then the controller is $30. You're saving $10. $10 is $10.
Or one controller?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure people have a lot of old controllers.
Right. So, but yeah, like we were saying, now we actually know some more details about how much the adapters are going to run. Those are going to be $20, and then you could use your own GameCube controllers, or you can buy the new ones that they're making and use those. So, seems cool. Bayonetta, have either of you guys?
Yeah. I was pretty pumped about the first one, but I never played it.
I meant to get around to it. I heard it was a lot better than the cover art suggested.
Right. Yeah. It was a scantily clad woman.
I heard that the gameplay is actually pretty solid in it.
So. That was a creepy yet awesome acknowledgement, Nick. Yes. Is very scantily clad. Good.
I have a dirty mind.
I didn't notice.
Yes. Really?
I remember having a scarf on.
Yes. I don't even remember looking at the woman. I saw right past her. So the giant monsters
in the
background.
I played in first person.
Yes.
I don't think
that's probably not possible. Anyway, Bayonetta 2, it's the thing.
Is that green?
It's going to be exclusive to the Wii U, whereas the original was on 360 and PS3. So this is the first time it's available on Nintendo at all.
Sure.
And they're going to be packaging the first Bayonetta with Bayonetta 2.
Oh.
So you're going to be able to play through the whole game. I guess this could be kind of Nintendo's move for like a God of War style exclusive to their console. Because, you know, everyone's got huge exclusives, but Nintendo doesn't really have any more mature themed exclusives for their console. So, you know, maybe they're trying to sneak into that a little bit more, into that market.
I don't know if Bayonetta is it, though.
It's like a cult classic, but like you say, I don't know if that's going to be enough to really get the masses excited about it. So we'll see. Devil's Third, a new game from, let me see if I can say his name, Tamanobu Itagaki, who is the creator of the Ninja Gaiden games.
Oh, I like
so,
those.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
So,
I like those.
Yes, we'll just go with yes. So, hey, it's moving. Good job.
We did it.
Yeah, 5CCFTG made the robot move.
Okay.
All right.
I'm excited.
Good. That's about all I got on that. It's a new game from the Ninja Gaiden guy. So, Hyrule Warriors. Have you seen anything like this? They talked about this a while ago.
It's the Zelda world.
Yeah, so it's Dynasty Warriors, but with Zelda characters.
I love me some Dynasty Warriors.
That seems pretty sweet.
You guys ever play that game?
There's like nine of them.
There's a lot.
I played one briefly, like hanging out with a friend. It was cool. It was awesome.
Oh my gosh, me and my brother, when we were little, we used to play Dynasty Warriors 3 all the time.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's Lu Boo!
I hated when he showed up because he was so hard to kill.
I've never experienced the wrath of Lu Boo. So, the studio, it's from Tecmo Koei and Team Ninja. and they worked on Dead on Arrival and Ninja Gaiden and other games. So they've got good experience on that for sure.
Well, I'm excited about this next one.
The next three are kind of, they kind of all meld together a little bit, but Mario Maker looks awesome. The first time ever that you can create your own Mario levels.
Yep.
This is, it's never been a thing before.
It seems like something they could have done when Little Big Planet was the thing.
Yeah. And we'll get to Little Big Planet. There's gonna be a new one of those. So, each of the big three console makers actually have, like, a make-your-own-game now. Mm-hmm. With Mario Maker here, Little Big Planet 3 is coming for PlayStation 4, and then Xbox One still has Project Spark, which I'm not really getting into that deep.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. It's good, I think, to try and get people more interested in game design, because mm-hmm. the more people that are making games, the more games we'll have to play. Some of them are bound to be good,
yeah.
right? Hopefully. So, but yeah, this uses the Wii U tablet controller pad, whatever it's called, to create your own Mario levels. You can scale like pipes and put blocks in. And I saw one where Mario's just jumping on the backs of flying turtles to get across the level. Seemed pretty cool looking. Mario Party 10, that's coming. That's got amiibo support. Sounds so weird saying amiibo.
Yeah, like it's a little like amoeba.
Yeah, but Mario versus Donkey Kong looks cool. So the first Donkey Kong / Mario game was way, way back in 81. The arcade game came out. And then 94, they did kind of like a refresh on that one on Game Boy. That was 94. And then 2004, they did the first Mario versus Donkey Kong game, which was kind of a throwback to those.
What kind of game is it?
So it's basically like the first games were, it's kind of like a side scroller.
The platformer?
Yeah, side scrolling platformer, mm-hmm. blah, 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 where you're going up these basically like I-beams or whatever and you're trying to rescue a princess. It wasn't even Princess Peach.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
At that time, yeah. So
I just meant the newer one.
The newer one's kind of like a refresh on that. I'm not sure exactly what it's going to be or if it's going to... It's going to be 3D, obviously, but I'm not really sure on the gameplay yet.
Okay.
So, Pokemon, Omega Ruby, and Alpha
Sapphire.
Pretty cool.
Oh, of course.
The remake of the Game Boy Advance games coming to 3DS.
Yes.
To a 3DS near you.
Near my face.
So, pretty cool. Those will be out... this November, so just in time for the holiday season.
Mm-hmm. The whole way down to Indianapolis when me and young Chris went, he's playing this Pokemon game.
Man. The best.
Oh, yeah.
I remember staying up late just playing, like, Red and Blue, like the originals way back in the day, getting yelled at. What are you doing up?
The Pokemon
gotta catch them all!
Again, same thing as Mario Kart. It's essentially the same thing each time. The framework, the idea... I'm gonna buy them.
But it's a little different.
It's a little different. They have these, for anyone who, unless you've been underneath a rock, you know the idea that Pokemon evolve. They change.
What?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
They have a new evolution style called Mega Evolution.
Mega.
Yeah.
And there's gonna be more Megas.
They have already leaked the three starter Mega Evolutions. We already saw Blaziken's Mega Evolution, which is the
everyone
fire,
knows what Blaziken is.
The Fire Starter.
I have not played seriously since Silver and Gold.
What did I play? What's the second one after like
Silver
and Gold?
Yellow, Red, Blue, Yellow.
Red and Blue. Then Yellow came out on the color. Then there was Silver and Gold
and Crystal.
It was for Game Boy Advance.
Game Boy Advance was Ruby and Sapphire, then Emerald.
Maybe it wasn't.
Or getting bogged down.
They played Fire Red and Leafy Green.
Okay. Anyways, we got to.
This is important information.
We got a lot to roll through. We don't have time to debate the semantics on the timeline of Pokemon.
Super Smash Bros.
Super Smash Brothers on 3DS on Wii U. So that's pretty cool, right? This is the first Smash Brothers on a portable device. So that's exciting, I guess. Right? I don't have a 3DS. Young Chris has a 3DS.
That means you gotta have other people with 3DSs so you can
Well,
maybe there's cross-play or something of that sort. And there is GameCube, GamePad support, kind of like I said, GameCube, which is great. Just think about that for a little bit.
Yep.
GameCube, GamePad support. So we don't know exactly when it's coming to Wii U, sometime in the fourth quarter of this year, and then it'll be out for 3DS right around the beginning of October. Star Fox is back.
Hopefully it's better than that one.
Hopefully it's better. So this is also going to be on the Wii Pad sometime in 2015. So we don't know much else than that right now. But it's Star Fox. Hopefully it's great.
Yeah. The first one was the best. Well, I really enjoyed the first one.
N64?
No, SNES.
Oh, no, I don't remember that one. I did not play that one. That's because I'm middle Eric, not old Nick. The Legend of Zelda. This is the first one for Wii U, and it looks like you might not be playing as Link this time around.
My brother, he saw that, and he's like, oh, I might have to buy a Wii U now, because that game looks awesome.
Awesome. So, we'll see. Knows. Okay, that's it for, Nintendo exclusively. We do have two other games that were for Nintendo by Sega. Sonic Boom.
Is that Sonic?
Yes.
Do we need it, though?
Rise of Lyric and Shattered Crystal for Wii U and 3DS, respectively, both coming out Q4 this year. So it's a collaborative effort. This is the third collaboration game that Sega and Nintendo have gone in together to create. But I don't know. Is Sonic played out? Is it time for Sonic to be done?
Yep.
They don't make him cool enough. They try and make him cool with terrible lines in the games. And Come on, let's race.
I remember Sonic back in my day when they had the cartoon on and he was eating chili dogs all the time. And just beating up robots and stuff.
Cast. Dr. Robotnik.
I have to tell you something I heard on.
Okay, so.
When?
Well,
not right now.
Not appropriate.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Alien Isolation. Have you guys seen anything about this?
Nope.
So, it always seems like an alien game is going to come out, and everyone's all excited for it. And then it comes out, and it's awful. Right?
Like the last one, the Marines.
Colonial Marines?
Colonial Marines.
Yeah. God awful. Don't play that game. Save yourself time and money. Alien Isolation by Creative Assembly, the folks behind the Total War series. So they make some great games, in my opinion. So this is a reboot, and it's a survival horror game. So, like,
Dead Space.
It's even more like you have less power than in Dead Space.
Yeah, because you're pretty powerful in Dead Space.
Yeah, you can go toe to toe with those Xenomorphs.
It's necromorphs.
Whatever.
I just want to make sure one of us had it right.
Okay. I'm sure the listeners
Eric said it,
in.
And I agreed.
Yes. And then we were corrected by young Chris. Thanks for keeping us accurate and honest. A lot of people are excited about this game. It looks really good. I saw some demos of it. You're like powerless against the alien. So you don't want to square up against him at all. Basically, you're on this ship. You play as the son of Ripley. So there's other humans on the ships, like bandits, and then there's like an android or something. So you might actually try and lure the alien, the homing beacon, to take out the humans and then hide yourself. So I don't know. Check out the video. I'll try and get a link.
Check it out!
Alright, so that's all Sega had that I thought was interesting. Microsoft. Another huge...
Lots of games.
Huge stuff, blah blah blah. Blow. Capybara Games. Top-down adventure-style roguelike RPG. People have been comparing it to both Legend of Zelda and Dark Souls because of the roguelike component. Looks kinda cool. I don't know too much about it yet, but I don't know. Indie games, right? Coming to Xbox. Along with PC. So, Crackdown, it's back.
What?
Crackdown is back.
Man, that game.
Well, the first one was
that
good.
Game.
The first one was.
I did.
Did you ever play
yes.
the first one?
It's I wasn't behind the cartoony design.
Yeah. Sure.
But the idea of having the superpowers as the like a special ops
yeah,
team yeah.
with like a whole bunch of powers.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Which was cool.
You can jump up buildings and stuff.
So it's like Grand Theft Auto.
It is. It's a lot. Like
yeah.
that, with less violence, that's gory.
And more superpowers. So almost like the new Saints Row, I guess.
Huh.
So we don't know too much yet, but it's kind of like a reboot of the series, from what I understand, seeing as how they're calling it just Crackdown, and it's not like a re-release of the first game. It's an entirely new game. Dance Central Spotlight? Anyone pumped up about that? This and Fantasia were the only two games that they were talking about that had Kinect support. So, you know, we kind of talked... I think we talked about that 2 weeks ago. They're dropping Kinect from Xbox now.
They're Are
selling
they?
It without the bundle.
Oh, so you can, I thought you meant dropping it completely.
No,
like support.
No, it's still being still being sold, but you don't have to buy it all bundled together. So they're down to Sony's pricing now, $399 for the Xbox without purchasing Kinect. Hmm. So these are the only two games that made an appearance during Microsoft's conference that were doing anything with Kinect at all. Fantasia looked kind of cool. That's another game by Harmonix where you play as the Sorcerer's Apprentice. We've known kind of about this a while ago, but, you know, from the original Fantasia movie, mm-hmm. Mickey. And, yeah, you don't actually play as Mickey, but you are still the Sorcerer's Apprentice, and you're conducting music into the world. So, I don't know. The game's been in development for a long, long time. We'll see if that comes out. It should be maybe sometime this year, but that's a big question. Fable Legends. It looks really awesome. So this is the first time Fable has had four-player co-op, but it's also got counter-op. And what I mean by that is there is, like, it's a Dungeon Master style, so there's a person who's got a top-down view, and they're placing monsters, they're placing traps, and they're like an opponent of the enemy, while the other four players, an opponent of the enemy? Yeah, sure. It's kind of redundant, whatever. I've been drinking this Wild Blue Premium Blueberry Lager. They're an opponent of the enemy. So anyway, they're placing traps and all that stuff, and then the other four players are going through the world. So it looks kind of cool. It's a new style of gameplay. We haven't really seen something like that before.
Ooh, and it's from Lionhead.
Lionhead. So, yes, Lionhead. Sir. Some people aren't that into it because it's getting away from Fable's roots, which some people might argue that every game since the first one has been getting away from Fable's roots. But the art style isn't as comic booky as the other games have been, which was a major appeal mm-hmm. to those games. So, who knows? Forza Horizon 2. It's from Playground, Turn 10, and Sumo, who they've worked on some of the other Forza games. It's going to be another open world racer. For the first time ever, they're going to have dynamic weather, which is kind of cool. It looks gorgeous. We don't know too much
about it. I like weather in my
games. Yeah, but...
I do. Whether it's Pokemon, they do it. Whether it's Pokemon...
Bring on that weather.
Or a racing game.
I want to see the weather.
I like seeing the rain.
So, that'll be out September 30th of this year. Halo 5 Guardians, Halo the Master Chief Collection.
The Master Chief Collection.
Have you heard about this at all? Okay, so Microsoft is doing a re-release. They did the anniversary collection of Halo, which was basically the first one, up-resed and the retextured and all that good stuff. Now they're releasing that one along with the same kind of treatment for Halo 2, and they're doing 3 and 4 on one disc for the Xbox One. It's all going to run 1080p, 60 frames per second, all on their respective original engines. So that's a big deal for us FPS guys. Because if you port a game to a different engine, it doesn't feel the same, typically. Like, it might be floatier, it might be tighter, whatever. So, that's kind of a big thing. Let's see. Moving on to Activision, Call of Duty, Advanced Warfare, which is what Microsoft opened their conference with for like 9 minutes straight of just gameplay footage.
The Madden of Xbox.
Yeah, I know, right?
Shooters.
It cut in. It looks great. It cut in and out of like gameplay to pre-rendered footage or whatever. They might have been doing it in engine. But it's set in the near future, kind of a deal. It's got Kevin Spacey in it.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Oh, House of Cards. Wow.
So, is it anything new for the series or no?
It's like a little more futuristic. It doesn't even look like it's set on Earth anymore.
Okay, or well, that would be something different.
It is on Earth, but it's further out into the future to where a lot of stuff looks changed. Unrecognizable. That'll be out this November. Destiny, the other Activision game. This one is going to be Xbox 360, Xbox One, PS3, PS4. Former Halo devs. This is from Bungie, sci-fi MMO. It's coming out in September.
MMO?
Yeah.
Expanse Multiplayer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. MMORPG.
Mind blown.
So, maybe I won't be playing it.
Yeah. So it looks like you kind of break off into groups. So like you might have an 8-versus-8 match or whatever. It looks kind of like Call of Duty, kind of like Halo, kind of like Titanfall, a lot of those different things. It's got a classic RPG kind of progression. So let's see, moving on to, Sony? Yeah, okay. Real quick, Konami, they showed Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. If you have a chance, watch the trailer.
I saw the trailer, not the E3 one, but...
Okay.
Maybe it was from last year?
Hmm.
But, yeah.
Was that The Phantom Pain, or was that the other one? The,
no, it was 5. It was 5.
5's been out for a while.
It was Phantom Pain.
There's another short episode for 5, and I can't remember the name of it. It's like, it came out on Steam, too, which was one of the few Metal Gear Solid games on Steam. But Abzu looks gorgeous from the former, or the art director from Flower and Journey. So, looks quite beautiful. That's by Giant Squid, which is a new studio. That'll be on PlayStation 4 and PC. Don't know when the release is on that. Bloodborne, studio behind Demon Souls and Dark Souls.
This is actually a sequel to Demon Souls, or a continuation of it. They confirmed that. I saw it today on IGN or something.
Really?
Yep. They said it was officially announced.
As a sequel to...
Well, it's like a continuation of Demon Souls.
Okay. I will.
That's what I saw.
Have to check that out. We'll link that up in the show notes for you guys. So it's coming out sometime in 2015. Not yet announced exactly when, but that'll be a PlayStation 4 exclusive. Oh, let's see. Drive Club. I don't know. Is anyone still interested in that? That was supposed to
be. I liked Drive Club in the fifth grade. I was all about. Oh no, that was Midnight Club.
Midnight Club, not Drive Club.
Yeah.
Drive Club is a new game that's the studio from the studio behind WRC, Motorstorm, and it was supposed to be a release title with the PS4. Like, they touted that as,
yeah,
like, look at these sweet
graphics. I remember that.
Yeah, now maybe it'll be out October of this year, but no Gran Turismo still.
Nope.
What are you doing, guys? Taking some time off.
Little note on that. I'm not sure how I feel about really accurate driving in games, like driving simulator games.
Yeah?
There was a Need for Speed game that I picked up, Need for Speed Shift, and it...
I played it.
The game...
I like it.
Literally has, on the road, the exact path you should be driving for max...
You can turn it off.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, it wasn't... I like realistic driving games.
Sure. I like realistic driving games. Like, I'll play F1 games and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I really like the realistic sim aspect of it. It's different audiences, it really is. Like, and it depends on what you're in the mood for. Sometimes you go and you try and... Yes, that it describes all the feelings perfectly. Yep,
that's what it is.
Little Big Planet 3 is back. PS3, PS4. Coming out Q4 of this year. So, I don't know. Looks cool.
Put it on your Halloween first one.
Four characters this time.
What?
Yeah, so different characters that can do different things. So, more interactions with the environment. So, like, four-player co-op. Yeah. Looks kind of cool. Nothing about The Last Guardian at all. Sad face.
Someday.
It's like Sony's or Team Ico's Half-Life 3. Half-Life 2. Because Half-Life 2 was, teased way before it should have been. Right, and then everyone built up expectations, and even though the game was great, you can't meet like years of fan expectations. But it's not canceled, so there that is. No Man's Sky, real quick, that was talked about during Spike's VGX, I believe, last year, like right around the PlayStation 4 release time. Looks gorgeous. It's like you're exploring the universe. You're on these different planets. They're all procedurally generated. You're, like, looking at new species. And you hop up into your spaceship, fly up into the air, and all of a sudden you're in a dogfight. Looks great. Check it out.
Sweet.
The Order, 1886. Yeah. Steampunk.
Yeah.
Fighting against zombies. Fighting against them werewolves.
Fighting against Loch Ness Monster.
I don't know about that. No, that's not confirmed.
Okay.
Not denied
not
either.
Confirmed. You heard it here first.
Yep. Not confirmed. Looks pretty cool. That'll be out third quarter of this year sometime. Uncharted 4, A Thief's End.
Jump up on
Naughty Dog, of course, is the studio behind that. It was teased last year, right around PlayStation 4 released. Is this the last one in the series? We don't know.
Might as well just be.
It's A Thief's
but
End.
Naughty Dog, they lost a lot of,
a lot of devs left. Yeah. Yep.
Well, hopefully they can uphold the quality of the previous three games.
The Last of Us 2 is what it should be. They should have been on it from the get-go.
Yeah, yeah. Or another Crash.
No.
Never going to happen. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first that Crash Bandicoot is done.
Nobody else has ever said that, ever. That'll be out in 2015. Oh, and real quick, Grim Fandango, an old-school adventure game. From LucasArts, Tim Schafer, back in 1998. They're going to redo it, and it's going to be on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita, so that's cool. 2K did some stuff. I don't know. They had Tales from the Borderlands there. They didn't do Game of Thrones, but those are those adventure games, kind of like they've been doing the Walking Dead series. Mm-hmm. They just did A Wolf Among Us, which has been popular and awesome. I just played Wolf Among Us recently. It's let's see, Sid Meier's Civilization Beyond Earth, pretty cool, new expansion to the series, or a new standalone game, I should say. Let's see, Into Bethesda, Battlecry, that was kind of like Dark Souls, but a lot more like European looking, that's Lords of the Fallen, sorry. Battlecry. What was Battlecry? Oh yeah, World Without Gunpowder. Basically. Doom, they teased it. They're gonna do some more stuff at QuakeCon. And then The Evil Within, which is from Shinji Mikami of Resident Evil. So, that's his next game. We'll see what comes out of that. They didn't do anything about, like, a new Fallout.
There's no nothing, new Fallout.
There's nothing about Dishonored 2. So, who knows? Square Enix. They talked about Kingdom Hearts HD 2.5 Remix.
That's like so close to being Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
You can taste
point
it.
0.5
It's off. 0.5 of being 3.
So just like they did in the 1.5 Remix version, they packed in like the sequential games between 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
All of that stuff is included. They're doing the same thing here. Nothing about Kingdom Hearts 3.
Am I the only one here who's actually played through those games?
Yep.
Really?
I played the first one.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I haven't touched them.
pull at your heartstrings.
Probably never going to go
your
back.
Kingdom Hearts.
Probably never going back.
It's because it's not on PC.
Yeah, that's true. That's the truth. Rise of the Tomb Raider. Looks great. Continuing the reboot by Crystal Dynamics. So, the last one was met with quite a bit of critical acclaim.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Looks good. That'll be out 2015. From Warner Brothers, Batman Arkham Knight pushed to 2015 after they teased it a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Looks, this is back from Rocksteady after Rocksteady took a break from the previous Batman game.
Have you seen the art on the Arkham Knight?
It looks really good.
Really sweet.
Yep. And they're adding the Batmobile this time around. So that should be good. Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor. This game looks awesome. It's so typically we don't expect too much out of
movie.
Lord of the Rings games or licensed video games. But Monolith Productions, the studio behind this, they've got a pretty good legacy. They've worked on, some of the devs have worked on Matrix Online, Fear. They've also worked on the Guardian of Middle-Earth games. And it looks like kind of a Assassin's Creed movement style with a God of War fighting mechanic and a unique leveling system. It's also got this nemesis system where basically you're picking out what orc you're going to fight against. It takes place between The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings movies. And you call them out, and you're like, listen, I'm coming for you, buddy. And you play as like a shadowy wraith guy kind of a deal. So you call him out, and then if you beat him, depending on how you beat him, you unlock like some sort of level up for one of your weapons and like a unique kind of progression. And it's got like a hierarchy of orc, like generals and lieutenants and captains and all this stuff. So you can try and set up power struggles and get some orcs on your side. But then if you fail an assassination attempt or something, they'll come back after you later on in the game when you least expect it. So it looks really cool. I'm excited to see what comes out of that game. And that's going to be out October 7th this year. The Witcher 3. Wild Hunt, the last Witcher game featuring Geralt. I don't know if it's the last Witcher game indefinitely, but looks great. It's going to be 30 times larger than the world of Witcher 2, which I have not played the Witcher games at all, but I always hear great things about them, and I have the intention to try them out at some point. So that's coming out February 24 of next year. And that'll be on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. EA. Let's see. BioWare. Let's start off with them. Dragon Age Inquisition. Looked pretty cool. They're bringing the whole pause mechanic back. It's not clear if it's just on PC or if it's on consoles as well that you can pause with. But that'll be coming out on pretty much everything except Nintendo's platforms. Xbox's last and current gen. Mm-hmm. PlayStation 3 and 4. And PC. Looks great, and it's going to be kind of the foundation for the upcoming BioWare games as far as the systems behind there, so that would include Mass Effect, which they just hardly touched on Mass Effect, the next Mass Effect, but there isn't going to be any more Shepard. The Shepard saga is over. That's been confirmed for a while now. There's also another BioWare game that they said Edmonton, which is the same studio that worked on Dragon Age, is working on, but we don't know really anything more than that. So that stuff's kind of all out in the air, up in the air, whatever. Dragon Age will be out October 7th this year, though. So, I don't know. I haven't played 2. I played the first one. I loved it. I heard a whole bunch of bad things about 2, how they just kind of like pared the whole thing down. And so I never dipped in. Mirror's Edge 2, have either of you guys played the first
one? I did.
It's pretty awesome. One. It's visually just, it's great. It's all about like parkour. It's first person, but you're not really shooting, although you could in the first one. The idea was like either avoid or do like a sweet wall jump kick to take down opponents and stuff. So, we don't know the release date on it, but it looks great. We hardly saw any actual footage. It was mostly just, like, art style stuff. So, Star Wars Battlefront. Didn't see much about that either. They just talked about, like, yeah, we're the devs, and we are really concerned with authenticity. Like, they actually went to LucasArts. They looked at the original props, and they're like, okay, like, this is the Stormtrooper helmet and all that stuff. You know, so, like, they're taking a lot of care in modeling this stuff up. But we didn't really see anything.
Just want to be on a team and blow up things again.
So, that'll be out in 2015 at some point in time. We don't really know when. But DICE has their hands full, I'm assuming. I mean, they're working on Mirror's Edge. They're also working on the multiplayer of Battlefield Hardline. So, they've got a lot of stuff going on. Okay, and then let's close it out with Ubisoft. Assassin's Creed.
No, Ubisoft.
It's Ubisoft.
Ubisoft.
It's not Ubisoft.
No, Ubisoft.
Because it stands for Ubiquitous Software. I know. Isn't that crazy? I never knew that. I always used to say Ubisoft. But anyway. Assassin's Creed Unity. They're adding 4-player co-op, which looks cool. There's been a bit of a hubbub on the internet why they didn't have female player characters.
It's all male?
Yeah. Only guys. And when asked about this on Polygon, the game director, I forget his name off the top, but he said, oh yeah, we didn't have time to develop for the female characters.
They're releasing one like every year.
We didn't have time or money. It requires twice as many assets. I don't know if that's how it sounds. Something like that. But anyway, you know, they talked about how you need more animations, you need voice acting, you need new character models, you need all that stuff. And then some other former Assassin's Creed developers were like, nah, you could do those animations in like 3 days. You know, so. They're in kind of hot water, which they don't want press on that right now. They want press on their new games that are coming out. But it looked great. It's set in the Revolution era over in France.
Eventually, they're just going to be in the future. It's going to be 2600.
2016. 2 years from now.
I thought 2016 isn't going to be far enough.
Hopefully that one comes out next year or it won't be in the future anymore. Far Cry 4 looked brilliant. Drop-in co-op. Your friend doesn't even have to own the game to drop in and play with you.
Wow.
That's confirmed for PlayStation 4. I don't know about the other consoles or PC, if that's a feature for that. But basically, while you have a friend drop in and play with you, there's no story progression. So they kind of, like, sectioned those things off so that if you want to play single player, you can get absorbed in their kind of, like, on-rails-ish in an open world, like, storyline progression. And then if you want to play with your friend, cool. Have him hop in, shoot things up, take out bad guys, ride on elephants. They had, like, a little, like, one-person helicopter where they hopped in, and then they flew over these gates, and then they took out this town. There's these elephants, like, crashing into jeeps, making things blow up, so, I don't know. Looks like more of Far Cry 3 in a different setting. Looks awesome. The crew, a coast-to-coast driving MMO. It's from Ubisoft Reflections in Ivory Tower. Now, Ubisoft Reflections worked on games like Driver. And the latest Driver, San Francisco, was really good. I played that game the whole way through and loved it. And then Ivory Towers worked on Need for Speed games, Test Drive Unlimited games, V-Rally. So they've all got a pretty good racing pedigree. So basically, it's like instancing to where you've got you and three other guys that are in your crew. And you're racing across anywhere in the U.S. It's got the whole U.S. pretty much as a race course. And then it's got like a bubble around you. So you're, depending on where you're going, you're experiencing different players at the same time. But it's not like, you know, a whole bunch of people. Mm. So that's how they kind of relieve server load and all that stuff. But it looks pretty cool. That'll be out November this year, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege looks amazing. Have you guys played any of the Rainbow Six games back in the day?
A long time ago.
Yeah, me too. I could spend a hot minute, as the kids are saying, as young Chris would say, perhaps. Yeah. I think I've heard you say that once. So, basically, Rainbow Six Vegas 2 was the last one, the last Rainbow Six, and that came out in 2008. Patriots was the next Rainbow Six, but that one ended up getting canceled. And now they're onto this. It looks kind of like the demo that they showed. There was a police force, and then there were terrorists kind of inside. I forget the name that they use, terrorists and counter-terrorists or whatever. But they had a hostage, and before the match even started, they dropped like a little drone. Like a little thing that was rolling along the floor, and they were able to explore in the area and see where the terrorists were boarding up windows and stuff. And then they were given the option to either, like, drop somewhere on the ground over here, on the other side of the house, but they chose to drop on the roof. And they rappelled down, they placed a breaching charge on the window, and they're like, wait, hold on. And they exploded the window, swung in, they were blasting terrorists left and right.
America!
Censored.
Beeping USA!
Yeah. So, it looked really cool. Check out that gameplay video, too. Tom Clancy's Division also looks really good. Have you guys seen anything about this? They talked about this last year at E3. Mm-mm. Where, like, it looks... They put so much care into the world crafting, like, you're just subtly walking by the side of a car. And most games, you would either clip through an open door or you would just kind of, like, bump into it or whatever. In this, like, the guy, there was actually an animation for him to put his hand up, close the door, and completely natural looking, and then just keep on walking. So, like, I don't know. Just that much attention to detail, and that's just a small fraction of the stuff that they're doing, but looks pretty awesome. There's a whole bunch of other stuff, but we don't have time to go over all of that, or we're going to talk for like 3 hours or something. So, I don't know. I feel like Ubisoft won the show. I feel like everything that they did was, it seemed pretty innovative to reuse that word that gets used in the industry so much. But all the different co-op and stuff that they're doing, The Division looks great. Rainbow Six looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The Crew is another one to where they're doing some new stuff. An MMO driving game where you get you and three friends driving across the U.S. It's a huge area to map out.
Oh, yeah.
Huge!
Huge!
So, I don't know. That's E3. You want to hit up a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
All right.
Energy.
We'll be back. No, no energy. So we had some nice E3 coverage presented by Mr. Eric, and we went over some Getting Us Geeked information, but now it's time for that core subject, that core set, which is that M15 edition.
Woo!
I did that.
Wow.
Whoa! He went there.
He just teed
there.
It up.
I segued swiftly.
Yes.
The utmost elegance.
For sure.
Onto the M15.
Yes.
So there's some cool things happening. It's quite just, a bit of spoilers so far.
Let's just start off with the obvious. We're getting a new border on our Magic cards.
Yep.
And not only that, on the rares and mythic rares, there are these little authentication stickers, which is pretty sweet. Makes it look a little bit more official. I've seen this done on other trading card game cards, and I think it's cool that Magic's throwing that on there now.
After 21 years.
After a few years there. Like,
it'll help counterfeiting, too.
Yeah.
Which has been dropping out quite a bit.
Counterfeiting.
There's always been counterfeiting.
Yes, true.
I think it's exciting that cards after this period will, you know, have a different look to them. So.
Sure.
Freshens thing up a bit.
So what, is there going to be a Modern 2 now?
That's the thing I was joking about.
Double Modern?
I was wondering if this might spark a new format that M15 on cards.
I doubt it.
I don't know. Maybe
we won't know for another 10 years, though.
Probably. Yeah. But besides the border, we are starting to see some clues into what cycles we might be getting. We're getting a new cycle of souls.
Say it.
I'm not gonna say it. Because it's not a Titan cycle. So far, two of the
similarly costed.
Correct. 6 for a 6/6 for what we've seen so far. But these have mana sinks strapped to them, which is pretty sweet. Always good in a draft or limited environment.
Sure.
Of the two, I'm not sure how I feel about the blue one. The Soul of Ravnica.
That's an expensive ability.
Very expensive.
I mean, you just cast them for 6, so and if you don't have any other gas.
If you're only running blue, you draw a card for 7 mana.
Mm-hmm. But something well, you like don't Esper, play monocolor. Do you ever play monocolor in a draft?
Esper or American, something that would maybe play it, probably not. No, don't see it happening. Thus far, I don't see anything that sticks out as a big game changer, a scavenging ooze, anything like that out of this core set. But it's still exciting that we're getting a look into what we're going to be dealing with coming up for the next year.
I like seeing the Paragons real quick. It's nice to have, what do we used to call those?
A hero?
No. Champions or leaders or... The guys that pump everyone else.
Booster
plus
team.
One, plus
oh,
one.
Lord.
Oh, Lord. Lords.
Yeah, that's the word.
Like Goblin Chieftain.
Yeah,
Goblin
for
Chieftain.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's good to see a new...
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to interrupt you.
The spoilers are up on your favorite spoiler site. What are we at, 70 right now?
We are, I don't know.
78. Yeah. Oh, so it's good size. Is this out of 289 for the set?
269.
So yeah, it's a fairly large set. Yeah, all core sets are. I don't know. I think my favorite card spoiled so far has got to be the green mythic. I just like the idea of being able to pump out 3/3s.
It's like a Garruk creature.
Yeah.
Garruk.
I wasn't going to say anything. It was on the tip of my tongue.
I'm kind of speculating in my mind what I think the souls will be for the other colors, what plane it'll be for. And for whatever reason, I think Innistrad will be the black.
Oh, the black one?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say white.
Yeah. You were going to say Avacyn. White.
Yeah.
White.
That makes sense because it's no longer dark now that Avacyn's back.
Right.
It'd be cool if they threw us a curveball and an artifact one for Mirrodin.
Ooh.
But now Mirrodin's taken over by the Phyrexians, so who knows? What do you think red might be? Kamigawa?
There's some. Where's a Sorkin Ball from?
Zendikar.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no. Originally, he's from Innistrad.
No.
Oh, Sorkin?
We're going there.
We're going
the next.
Khan or whatever.
Yeah.
Khan.
Something like that. Sure.
That's happening.
Sorkin Ball is from the planet
Tarkir.
That's what I think the red one is going to
okay.
be.
My bet's on Kamigawa.
Why would you say that?
I just feel like Kamigawa.
Kamigawa's coming back?
Kamigawa.
Got nothing.
Lorwyn.
Oh, yeah, Lorwyn. Be a big old red giant?
Nope.
Something like that? Could be.
What else?
Well, it got pretty dark in the end there with the Shadowmoor, so
yeah.
Who knows?
What do you think of this card? Ulcerate. That's a good card.
Ulcerate? Man, these names. I'm loving them. So black for target creature gets -3/-3 until end of turn. You lose 3 life. Classic black.
Yeah.
You think anyone's ever going to play this card? Mediation Puzzle? 8 life? Gain 8 life with Convoke?
Ugh.
What was Convoke again?
You can tap.
Reveal. Or no, yeah, tap.
Tap creatures of the same color?
Same color.
Play it.
To reduce
its mana.
Excellent. Speaking of tapping creatures, I drafted Conspiracy recently.
What a super segue.
And Eric has two sealed boxes.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah, we have not had a chance to
We will do that, though.
Yep.
So my draft of Conspiracy was interesting because it was small. It was only 4 people, but I desperately wanted to draft, and so we made it work. We decided before we did the draft that we were going to do it two-headed giant style. So while we were drafting, we let the person next to us look at what we were drafting since we knew what our teams were going to be.
Sure.
And we weren't fighting over colors for no reason. And it was fun. I enjoyed it.
What was your deck like?
My deck was Izzet. It was a blue-red.
Okay.
And it was cool. I had something.
Did you have Dak Faden?
No, but my opponent did. Okay. My opponent did.
So he was cutting your colors?
Yeah, he was. And in fact, I passed this 2-mana Izzet card. It was a mage of some sort. I thought, this is surely going to wheel. Nope. Because he
snatched that up.
One, picked one, Faden. He thieved because he was the greatest thief in the multiverse. He just stole my picks.
Who won, you or them?
We did.
Oh, he still won.
Yeah, we did best 2 out of 3. And, they stole game 1 with an unblockable 17-17.
Okay.
Oh.
So it smashed pretty quickly.
I getcha.
Yeah.
How were those, conspiracy cards? Were they cool?
Conspiracy cards I value highly if you have, at least 3 of a card. Because the conspiracy cards that I picked, one made the CMC of that card 1 less, and all creatures of this name +1/+1.
Well, not all of them are those Hidden Agenda cards, though.
Yeah, not all of them.
Conspiracy cards.
I did draft a rare that said you get a double mulligan. Not a double mulligan, double hand. You get 2 hands.
And you get to pick one.
Right. Which was pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I did open a triple rare pack, so that was fun, too. I cracked a foil rare and rare conspiracy rare, so it was exciting.
Nice.
But yeah, it was just a fun little 4-man pod, and if any of our Magic listeners out there haven't gotten around to a conspiracy draft, it's probably the most fun I've had since Modern Masters. Not more fun than Modern Masters. But it was still fun. Which is saying something.
Why do you like Modern Masters better?
Modern Masters.
Power level?
There's a nice power
level.
The
money.
Level.
He likes it.
Oh, yes, the money.
not just the money. There were a lot of different archetypes in Modern Masters that you could go with. You could go for artifacts, you could do, fairies, giants, and
I went
whatnot.
Fairies.
It was fun, and I liked that. And that's saying something, that a set that literally has cards designed to only be drafted still couldn't, in my opinion. Which, maybe it can. I only did a 4-person draft, so that's not necessarily a fair statement.
Right, it might not be a perfect.
You gotta get some more experience.
Yeah. Small sample size of that. But, the set looks awesome, and I'm excited to get at least a 4-person, but maybe we'll get something bigger put together and do that. They're also doing Vintage Masters, but it's only
online.
On the
unfortunately, I would love to wrap up.
With a blazing rarity symbol for the Power 9.
Yeah. Can you imagine how much those boxes and those packs would go for, though?
Yeah, in real life?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You're like, we're going to make this a limited set run, too.
Do we have a number on how many tickets a foil Power 9 is worth online?
No, I have no idea.
No idea. I haven't played in a while.
I don't know. Somewhere out there. Someone's cracking one of those and having a good day.
It's good. Good singing, Nick.
Thank you.
Energy.
I love
Young
that.
Chris.
It's a nice interspersal.
We can put,
we're good.
We got any new updates on the Duels 2015 or anything at E3?
Not too much. They're just kind of gearing up to fight against Hearthstone, basically.
Oh, yeah, Hearthstone is...
Because Hearthstone has been taking the nation by storm.
I played it for
It's
hot
really
minute.
Good. I don't know. Have you played it at
I
all
haven't played
this?
It. People I've have tried to drag it. Me down, but staying loyal.
It's really good. I would...
I'm still loyal to Magic, yeah, but it's sure, a fun game.
Mm-hmm. Hearthstone is fun.
I really wish.
A lot of pro Magic players are even getting into Hearthstone.
Yeah. I really wish MTGO would take some advice on their client.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just their client. Update your client.
Yeah.
Because the new one coming out sucks.
I mean, even if it was more like Duels.
Yeah.
If the client for MTGO
get something that
was
works,
like Duels,
servers work.
It'd be fine.
Yeah.
I wish I could play MTGO on my PS3 or 4. Or
you
Xbox
have a PS4?
Huh?
You have a PS4?
I mean, I'm going to get one.
Oh.
But I was playing Duels with Planeswalker last night. And I'm really upset that I have a PS3 right now. I'm upset that it's not coming out for the PlayStation Network.
Yeah, that's muy mal.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of a... Why do you always switch to Spanish? What is that? What
it
is
makes
that,
things
what
spicy.
Is that from?
You were being French earlier.
Yeah, I was doing a stupid French accent. Yeah.
I like muy mal.
Okay, I'll give you that one. So, Wizards went out and said that was a business decision. Right, they had to focus on some consoles, and they said maybe we'll be able to get this on Sony consoles later, but right now it just makes sense for us to do these different consoles, which is the Xboxes, Android, iOS, PC, and Atari 2600.
Yeah.
For the listeners of last episode.
Sure.
Pop console.
I think Duels of the Planeswalker is essential. It plays a role in the entire Magic multiverse. Not necessarily the planes, but just the different categories and areas and levels of players. That's how I started Magic. If it weren't for Duels, I wouldn't be in Magic to the level that I am.
And that's what they're going for. Mm-hmm. They want to get the beginner, the introductory player, just kind of familiarize with the world of Magic through Duels.
And everything in it is laid out so simply, I feel.
Sure.
You can adjust it so that may triggers are may triggers, or they happen automatically. Sometimes the timer can get a little funky.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really like it. And I'm disappointed that it's not on 2015, PlayStation.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there is that.
I mean, you guys just get PCs.
I got a PC.
To be honest, I think that's what I'm going
to do. I wish there was cross-play, though, too, because, like,
yes.
I was so invested in the PC version of 2014, mm-hmm. but you had a lot of stuff invested in the PlayStation version, but we couldn't play with each other.
Right.
Which is really unfortunate. So.
Get it together.
Get it together, Wizards. There's crossplay in Hearthstone. You can play PC versus iPad.
Shots fired.
Whatever. Right across the bow. What's up?
So what do we have here? We've got some cool M15 spoilers up. Conspiracy is fun, and we're still butthurt over no PSN support.
Well, you two are because you have PlayStation.
I got a PC.
I guess. I couldn't give a flying flagnar about it. But...
Shut the front door.
Yeah.
Fine frack.
Ninja, please.
All right.
Good.
Oh, good.
I think that's...
It's settled.
That's it for our
magic
stuff, eh?
Yep, sure.
All right, well, let's enter the Beerina.
Beerina. Today, Young Chris and Eric.
Middle Eric brought
the beers.
We have... So, yeah, go ahead.
We have a Wild Blue Premium Blueberry Lager. And a beer brewed right here
in Michigan.
Marquette, Michigan.
Marquette, Michigan.
Black Rocks.
Black Rocks Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids.
Which is a cream ale? Cream lager?
Cream ale.
Cream ale.
Dry hop.
Did you say in Grand Rapids?
No, I said Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids.
Oh, Grand Rapids.
Name of the beer. Grand Rapids.
I said it clearly says Marquette here.
Young Chris.
Grand Rapids.
Give us your thoughts on these two beers.
Well, initially, Wild Blue, I thought it was great. I had it a month or so ago, and I thought it was good.
How drunk were you at the time when you had
it? Not at all.
Okay.
Zero drunkenness on the drunken scale. Oh.
Sure.
Meter row.
Okay.
So Wild Blue, it's got this funky little melting pit bull doggy thing on the front, and it's fruity. It's sweet, but there's something to it that kind of leaves a bad aftertaste. And it's turning me off to it. Even as a beer to just sip, maybe for another show, I hate Dragon's Milk. Might turn a few people off there, but, just same thing with Dragon's Milk for me. I can sip it, but after a while it just leaves something lingering for me.
Wait, did you just equate your blueberry beer and Dragon's Milk?
Dragon's Milk is thick and hearty and sweet. And delicious to you. To me, it's thick
and yucky
and gross.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I love porters as a thing. I love porters. I love stouts. I love a dark brew. This is not a dark brew. This is a lager. And it's fruity. I'm going to have to give it maybe a 2.3. 2 or 2.5.
Wow, yeah.
Wait,
Chris,
out of 5 or out of 10?
Out of 5.
Okay, do it out of 10. So that would be a 5 out of 10.
Out of 10, it gets like a 4.5.
4.5.
Okay.
5. 10.
So we're on the IGN rating scale.
Yes, we are. Right.
So if you're into fruity, if you're into the red style brew or strawberry ale, pick that over it. It's still better. I prefer to drink a reds or a strawberry style beer.
So a fruity beer.
A fruity beer over this fruity beer.
Sure. Okay. Yep.
Let me show you how to rate things.
Yeah.
You heard it from Chris first.
Yeah, heard it here, folks.
It's not the best fruity beer, a fruity beer.
I will mention that it is 8%.
It is.
It'll get you there.
It'll get you drunk.
It'll get you there. So,
oh, yeah.
If you've already had your mixed drink of choice.
Brother.
If you had a, if you've had a mixed drink of choice or a couple.
What is going on?
All right.
He makes Hulk Hogan in with Macho Man Randy Savage.
Next beer.
Go.
Do you want me to move to this guy here?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're dealing with the Grand Rabbit here. Grand Rabbit, sadly disappointed. I saw cream on there, thought it'd be smooth.
I know how you like
he
the cream.
Likes the cream sodas.
Huge fan of cream.
I am a fan. I drink half and half straight.
All right.
Grand Rabbit. It's just not there for me. Uh-huh. You might ask, what is there for me?
Yeah. What
you
is
are.
There for you?
That's who's there for me. You are.
Oh. Okay. Well, what beer is there for you?
If I'm going to drink a beer, I like to, you know, snag a Stella. Stellas are fine with me. Real clean, nice taste.
Yeah. Crisp and refreshing.
Crisp. If I am in the fruity mood, I'll go for an Angry Orchard. Some along the lines of that. If I'm going domestic, Miller's fine. I mean, I said domestic. No. Don't give me strange looks.
Oh!
If only
Nick's face could be broadcast, ladies and gentlemen.
What do you rate this beer?
Better than Wild Blue.
So, like a 5.
Yes.
All right. So.
Now show me how to rate things, Nick.
Grand Rabbits is Chris's winner by a very slight margin.
Yes, a small margin.
Eric, give us your thoughts.
All right, Wild Blue. Like the art, like Chris said, it's got like a melty bulldog sort of a situation. Unfortunately.
That's all it's got going for
the
it.
The art is the only thing that this beer has going for it. I had my first sip. And I did not enjoy it. And I thought, maybe it's just me. Maybe I need to take another sip and let it linger, swish it around a little bit, appreciate some sort of hidden note in there. I don't know. I just feel like I'm bombarded with
flavor, but not good.
Yeah,
flavor.
It's complex, but not in the correct way.
Yeah, agreed. So I was highly disappointed, and on a 10-point scale, I'll give it a 3.5.
3.5.
Ouch. Woo! I didn't like it.
What if the brewmaster was sitting here with us, Eric?
He'd probably punch you in the face.
He'd probably be upset with me, but...
His feelings would be hurt.
But he's not here, and so I'm going to speak candidly.
The only way he's going to hear it is if he listens to our podcast.
That's right. So, the Black Rock, that's the one I picked up. Grand Rabbits from Marquette, Michigan. It was recommended to me the last time I was at Siciliano's, and I didn't pick it up then, but I got it this week. And it's a dry-hopped cream ale. It's decent. What is the ABV on this bad Jackson? 5.5 by volume. It isn't a can, I should mention. Let me have a little sip there. Because of the dry hop, I think that might be what is turning young Chris off of it. And it also turns me off of it a little bit, too. I'm not a huge... Pale Ale IPA guy, and I think that the bitterness, the hoppiness, kind of turns me off from it a little bit, to where if it weren't dry hopped, maybe it would be a little smoother. I'll give it a 4.5, I think, out of 10.
I think looking at it from an IPA angle, this is good.
It's a delicious IPA.
This is delicious.
No, this isn't even close to an IPA.
Brought up IPA, and I thought, well, if we're going to talk IPA.
But if I'm going to rate this versus, like, I don't know, Mad Hatter or something, I would prefer this.
Absolutely.
I don't like the hops. I'm like a brown ale. I'm like a porter.
Yes.
A stout
guy. Like the barleys and the wheats.
Yeah.
Eric and I have a very similar palate.
Give me a dark beer.
Except for
drink it down.
Except for Dragon's Milk.
So, and I love me some Dragon's Milk.
Get that away from me.
Alright.
So, what do you got for us, old Nick?
Okay, so, well, we have a winner already, the Grand Rabbits.
Mm. Yep.
You're two good. Votes out of three.
Yes.
Which, it might soon be three out of three. Anyways, the Wild Blue.
What do you think about that art, though? It's kind of cool,
fantastic.
Right?
It's kind of off-putting to me.
He doesn't even like
the art. It's pretty cool.
The dog's facial expression is your facial expression when you drink this beer.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
I give that, boy, I'll go in the middle. I'll give it a 4 out of 10.
Okay.
Black Rock, Grand Rabbit, not a big fan of it.
Not a big fan.
Not at all. Not a very good cream ale.
No.
Just missing... the creaminess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only 5.5. So if you're going to taste bad, at least get me drunk.
it'll get you there, but for the price, and you're going to have to drink quite a few of them.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, I'll give that a 4.01.
Nice.
Whoa!
No.
You're telling me...
I'll give it a 4.5.
That only point...
Wait. So they tie?
No, I gave that one a 4.
Oh, you gave it a 4. That's
yeah.
Right. Okay. All right.
Winner, Grand Rabbit.
The unanimous winner,
Black Rock.
Black Rock.
Even though it wasn't very good.
It was okay, but it was less bad than the blueberry.
So since we didn't have a good suggestion, since both of these beers were not to our liking, for a listener out there, what's something we might be able to suggest?
Oh, well,
we've got one more beer.
Yeah, we'll get to that next week.
Well, it's not going to be here next week.
Okay.
I'll have to pick something else.
Fair enough.
A good beer?
Get to us on our Twitter or on our email, 5ccmtg@gmail.com or at 5cc on Twitter, and let us know if you have any suggestions for us.
Yeah, we'll put them on the show for sure.
We'll take a look at that and figure out what we're bringing. It's Nick v. Chris next week, so we'll see how that goes.
We'll take our hard-earned monies and purchase beer.
Purchase beer for our drinking and your entertainment, hopefully.
Next bi-week.
Next bi-weekly podcast. So, we'd love to hear your feedback, guys and girls. If you have any questions or comments or any suggestions on the show, feel free to get a hold of us on either of those mediums. Again, that's at 5ccmtg on Twitter or 5ccmtg@gmail.com. And once again, I am Middle Eric.
I'm Chris C. NRG.
And I'm Nick. And special happy Father's Day to all the fathers
out
there.
Yes, happy Father's Day, everyone. All the fathers out there. Thanks for listening. We'll see you all next time. We'll be right back.